going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Just get your Bible there, and I will be soon to follow. While you're turning, don't you listen to these words, very familiar words, especially coming into revival time. You hear this Psalm 85, verse 5, verse 6, I mean, quoted a lot. But let me read a few verses going into that verse, and then we're going to go to Psalm 78. But listen, and it'll make sense in a minute. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? And here's the verse that everybody's familiar with. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Now in Psalm 78, and I read those verses, especially ones leading up to that familiar verse, try to put in context this psalm we're about to read. And I have been reading this psalm all day long, over and over and over, and it's a long psalm. I'm going to jump to verse 40 and 41 and give you the thought. And we may go back and read some of this together. We will go back and read some of this together. But look at Psalm 78, verse number 40. The Bible said, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God. Listen to this. And limited the Holy One of Israel. That sounds almost impossible, that little bitty old human beings could limit the omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, that means all-knowing, all-powerful, all-places God, the great big sovereign God of heaven, that little old us could limit him. But yet, if you look at the verse 41 and read it again, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. That's amazing to me that people think, well, God can just do what he wants to and God will do whatever he pleases to a degree, but God has framed himself in by his own word. God has limited himself by his own word. God said, I hold my word above my own name. And so I want to just put this thought in our mind tonight, headed toward revival. We can limit God. And what a fearful thing to ponder that thought and the gravity of it, that we as mere mortal flesh and bones can limit God. And so I want to show you from the Word of God how we can do that. Just two or three little ways, and there's more, but two or three ways how we can limit God, and ask you to join with me and pray, which is one of the ways we can limit God, is by not praying, but pray and be intentional about not doing these, entering into revival. Because I don't know about you, but I need revival. Our church needs revival. My family needs revival. And my marriage needs revival. My relationship with my children needs reviving. And this jumped out at me earlier today when I read it back over Psalm 85, verse 6. He said, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" The word revive means to bring back to life. And people have, I've heard this said about, why y'all going to spend all that money on revival and go through all that again? I mean, y'all just had revival, and if it must not have worked, because here y'all are having to do it again. It must not have lasted. he said, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Salvation is once and forever, but revival is not. I'm glad people don't treat taking a bath like they look at having revival. It ain't a one and done. No, you're going to need it again. That's right. But we think about limiting God. I'll just say three things, and then we're going to read some of this and look. But this whole psalm, Psalm 87, is about how they were looking back and recalling. He even called it a parable. I'm going to say this parable. And looking back at how good God was to His people. How God, over and over throughout the whole wilderness experience, all those years in the wilderness, how time and time again God would do wonders and miracles and in spite of them, bless the fire out of them. I mean, they would be mumbling at the mouth and down in heart and just not doing much for God and sinning, hard-hearted, a lot like we are right now. And God would still show goodness to them and bless them and feed them miraculously and pour water out of the desert and quench the thirst. And over and over and over, in spite of them, God would bless them. And Psalm 87 is looking back at that. And you don't, I'll say this, that sounds wonderful, and it is on God's part. But we can't tempt God forever. We can't take God for granted forever. And God finally gets fed up with that. And yes, God can and does. And they limited Him. He said, because of some things that you've done, you limited me. You limited the Holy One of Israel. And so, number one, we can limit God when we do not trust Him. And that is not my opinion. Unbelief is what kept a lot of them out of the promised land. It's unbelief, not trusting God. And that's a recurring theme all through the Word of God. Listen to what the Gospel of Mark chapter 6 says about this. Powerful verse when you think about how our lack of faith and unbelief can limit God. You say, surely not. Well, listen what Jesus, what was said in the Gospel. And He could there, speaking of Christ, and He could there do no mighty work save that He laid His hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And He marveled because of their unbelief. And He went round about the villages teaching. It didn't say that He chose not to do any good, great works. It said He could not do any great works. And He marveled at their unbelief. Unbelief will absolutely limit God. It will cause Him not to be able to move and do what He wants to do. We pray, even as the psalmist prayed, "Lord, wilt Thou not revive us again? And Lord, won't You save our family? Won't You save my brother or my sister or my husband or my wife or my child?" I mean, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come. And God's willing to send revival. He wants us to be revived. He wants us to thrive. Amen. He wants that. And so The reason that's not happening is not on God. It's on us and our unbelief. And so here's God saying, I could do this. I want to do this. I want to save. I want to restore. I want to revive. I want this church moving and thriving, and I want that building full of teenagers getting saved. I want your children at a young age getting saved, never touching and been stained by sin. I want that. God desires that. You know He does. And He said, I want to fix your marriage. I want to rescue your children. I want to grow the church and build the church. I want to save. God wants to save Packlet, right around this town. And you know, I don't have to call no names, but you know people. When I will say this word, you'll know people will pop in your mind. When I say the word meth, you'll think of people in this town. People that's kin to you. People that are friends with you. People that are caught in this town. It's everywhere. Amen. I was told this week, some people in my family, I was at Larry's funeral. One of my cousins told me about her sister. Said, please pray. Said, the needles are so bad. And this is people that are grown and older. Shooting up meth right here in Packlet. And they're gone. And listen, that ain't just in my family. I promise you. They ain't too many streets in Packlet that you can't ride down that stuff ain't all through it. Oh God, Packlet needs saving. And it ain't just Packlet. It's most towns across this country. Amen. Are you listening? And God's wanting and God's willing and God is able to send revival to this town. He can. Do you believe that? Surely you believe that He's able. But our unbelief, you say, well, I just don't know. It's been this way too long. It's too bad. No, God can. Amen. If we'll get willing to believe and pray. Amen. Amen. I mean, have you looked at your Bible lately? And been reminded of some of the things that God can do? Amen. Some of the situations God has turned around. Some of the dead things God has revived. Some of the terrible situations in the Word of God. Just read your Bible and look at just how great God is. God can turn Packlet around. God can send revival to this church. He can save your family member. He can deliver them from drugs or a terrible relationship. God can and will. But we cannot limit Him through unbelief. And unbelief, listen, please don't let this bore you tonight. I said I won't keep you long, and I won't be but a few more minutes. Unbelief will absolutely stop and hinder God from moving. Amen. It absolutely will. And the children, as I said, the children of Israel went on a 2-week trip. This whole chapter, this whole psalm is about where the children of Israel went on what would have just took 2 weeks, 13 or 14 days, if that, to go from where they was. But what started out as a 2-week journey turned into a 40-year long circling, walking in circles. And Moses would preach to them over and over, and they would turn their back and they would bellyache and they would turn against God and get bitter at God. And Moses would come and preach a revival to them and try to lift them and pull them back over and over. But he done it to the same people over and over. Not just a few years, but for 35 or 40 years. He was the preacher over and over to these same people. Dealing with the same problems. Who was trying to go to the same promised land and be delivered. But they never was. Most of them, their carcasses died in the wilderness because of unbelief. Oh God, that don't need to be our testimony. We can't afford. Listen, please look at me for a minute. Our children cannot afford for that to be our testimony. And that ain't my opinion. It's going to be right here in the psalm. I'll show you where those words about their children and their generations ahead of them. They had to pass it on to them. And so do we. So do we. So, number two, not only we can't limit God, we can limit God when we don't trust Him, but we can limit God when we don't pray to Him. And just simple verses, you know them, but it's we got to be reminded of it. And so I want to ask you before I move on, believe God. Help me believe God. You can trust Him. He's never let you down. Never. He's never let you down, so you can believe Him. And we need to believe Him to send revival. We need it. And then we need to pray, because a lack of prayer will limit Him, will limit God. James chapter 4 verse 2 says, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war and you have not because you ask not. Several places that same verbiage is given. You have not because you ask not. I wonder how many things we are living without simply because we hadn't asked God. Amen. Listen, here's a verse, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able. He is able. He said, I'm not just abundantly able, I'm exceeding abundantly able. Above able. Above and beyond. Not just what you can ask for, but even what you can imagine, what you can ask or even think. Beyond your wildest imagination. God said, I can do way more than that. But you have not because you ask not. So prayer, or a lack of it, a lack of asking absolutely limits God. Amen. I challenge you. I did this at some point, several times probably, during our prayer study. But here's a challenge for you. You want to help your prayer life? Do this. Don't tell nobody what you're praying for. Nobody. Don't even tell your husband or your wife. And prove to yourself that God hears and answers prayer. And ask Him for something specific. I mean something not generic like, Lord, let the sky be blue tomorrow. No, don't be so generous. Get specific and say, Lord, I'm trying my best to build faith in You. I want to be able to pray and believe. I believe, help thou mine unbelief. As I'm asking for this, Lord, not to consume it upon my own lust, not to be greedy, but Lord, I want to believe in You as much as I can. So Lord, without telling a soul, I'm asking specifically for this. And only You know what I'm asking for. So only You could make this happen. And then pray that. And if you don't do it tomorrow, pray it the next day. And pray it and believe it until He does it. Amen. And He will do it. And then you can't say, well, because the devil will come and say, oh, that was just coincidence. If you pray for the sky to be blue tomorrow, I mean, it's 50-50. It might be cloudy. No, pray and you'll know. So pray. Daniel prayed. You remember Daniel prayed, and God delivered him out of a den of lions. And three Hebrew boys prayed, and God delivered them out of a fiery furnace. Pray specifically. Ask. And it shall be, the Bible says, ask and it shall be given to you. Amen. What do you need tonight? What do you need if you could ask God for one thing? Listen, think about how foolish this is and how little our faith looks in God to a lost and dying world. When they have more faith in a genie, if they found a lamp and that they could rub and a genie poof out and they'd say, I'll grant you three wishes. Well, most of the world believes that nonsense. Seriously, you'd be amazed. But we say that we believe in the living God of heaven, who spoke the worlds into existence, who can do anything. And then we live in defeat because we don't have things that we won't ask Him for. And they see right through that. If anybody on planet Earth should be living in victory, it should be the children of God, because we have a Father who can do anything.
Amen.
That we can talk to. I mean, it ain't like you've got to save up so much money before you can go. No, it's a free call.
Amen.
And you can call on Him. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
Amen.
Yeah. So ask Him, what do you need? And then finally, and I'll close in reading some of this, but there's other things that can limit God, but these are the three main things that I can think of, and that's just old-fashioned sin. And that ain't my opinion either. Isaiah chapter 59, listen to this verse, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. No, God can save, and God wants to save, and God's willing to save. If He wasn't, He wouldn't have sent His Son to die for our sin. He wants to save. He proved it already. The Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither is His ear heavy. He can hear you.
Amen.
That it cannot hear. Listen, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Sin absolutely can limit God. It can. It will limit what He'll hear, which limits our prayer life, which limits our faith and our unbelief, and it just all goes downhill from there. So if there's three simple things that I could beg all of us to do, is just look at three very basic things that we can work on between now and revival, and that is faith or our unbelief, because it does limit God, and our prayer life and our sin. That verse reminded me, it said, your sins, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you. You heard about that old man and woman, and they was riding in an old truck down the road, and you know them old trucks, they had them old bench seats, and she was all the way over on her side looking out the window, and he was over in the driver's seat driving, and he'd had that truck since they'd been married, and they were well up in age, and here come around them this little sports car with a boy and girl all on top of each other, hugging and kissing. And she said, oh, I remember when we used to be like that. And he said, I ain't moved. Let me say, God ain't moved. She slid. He's still in the same spot. And God ain't moved. He still can save. He still can hear. And if anybody's moved, thank God.
Amen.
Amen. And so, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Now, I told you I'd be short. Look at, I can't even read that. That's too little. Look at verse 1. I ain't going to read all of it. I mean, it ain't but 72 verses. I won't read it all. Look at verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law, Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Listen. He said, we've heard this stuff. We've been hearing this stuff from old. But look at verse 4. He said, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Boy, don't you want your children to know what the power of God? I don't want my children. Listen, I do not want my children growing up and living their life never having experienced the power of God. I ain't talking about just normal church. I'm not even talking about just a good church. I mean, I want my children to experience, not read about, but experience a real move of God that will change them forever. Amen. And that's what they say, and we can't afford not to tell our children and this generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and the wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Boy, that ought to be our prayer. That ought to be our prayer. And might not be as their fathers, listen, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and not carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He showed them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers and in the land of Egypt and the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand up as an heap. In the daytime also He led them with a cloud and all night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Listen, and they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. It's amazing when we read this in this context. The more He blessed them, the better He was to them, the more they sinned. And I'm not going to read it all, but if you'll go and read this chapter, you'll find out there comes a stopping point to that. And God gets fed up and done. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? There's that unbelief. Can God, after He had done all that, they said, can God. And I'll stop right there and just leave that with us. After God's done all He's done for us, I think it's a pretty pitiful thing for us to ask of Him, Lord, can You? No, He can. He can. Think about it. If He could save you, He can do anything. There is no greater miracle than saving a soul. And if He could save you, He can do anything. And so God can. Let's not tempt Him and let's not limit Him. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You, Lord, for the reminder from Your Word, Lord. We could have went way deeper, spent way more time, Lord, but it's pretty clear, Lord, that You can and are willing to do anything, Lord. Anything that's in Your will, God, you want to do that for us, and You can do that. But, Lord, help us not to limit You. Help me, Lord. I pray for our church, but God, I begin with me, Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Lord, I pray that You would help us to grasp Your word, Lord, and take it serious Lord, this is exactly what you give me for tonight, for this hour. So I pray you'd help us not to push it aside, but Lord, to take it to heart. God, I ask for our children that are next door, Lord, that'll be, Lord, facing a hard and dark world tomorrow. I pray, Lord, you'd help them, Lord, and empower them. And may our church be for them what they need. Oh, God, that our children would receive when they come into this place the presence of God, that they would have a true encounter with you, the God of heaven, that your power would change them forever, not just for our children, but God, we need it. We need a fresh stirring and a fresh moving. I need it, Lord. Our church needs it. And I pray you'd send it. And I pray this in Jesus' name, believing. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you.